Good morning. I appreciate everybody being here bright and early this morning. I'd like to call to order the Water Quality Supply Treatment Subcommittee. Missy, please call the roll.
Chair Stevenson?
Here.
Vice Chair Maggard?
He's here.
Ranking Member Hart? Representative Altman?
Here.
Representative Basabe?
Here.
Representative Bell?
Here.
Representative Brackett?
Here.
Representative Cassell?
Here.
Representative Dunkley?
Here.
Representative Gonzalez-Pittman? Representative Gossett-Seidman?
Here.
Representative Henson?
Here.
Representative Overdorff?
Yes, ma'am.
Representative Robinson?
Here.
Representative Snyder?
Here.
Representative Temple?
Here.
Representative Waldron?
Here.
Representative Yeager?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Let the record show that a quorum is present. Before we begin, a reminder once again to make sure all your electronic devices are turned off or placed on silent mode. Good morning, members. On today's agenda, we have three member bills, a presentation by DEP on rule development by the agency pursuant to the Clean Waterways Act that required legislative ratification, and a proposed committee bill that would ratify two of the rules developed by DEP. I also want to mention that bill number 661 is on today's agenda, and I'd like you to show that bill temporarily postponed. First up, we'll have House Bill 827, Wastewater Grants, by Representative Basabe Lopez. Representative Basabe and Representative Lopez. Representative Basabe, you're recognized to explain House Bill 827. Is this your first bill?
Good morning, Madam Chair. Yes, it is.
Oh, very good. Well, good morning. Congratulations on your first bill.
Thank you very much. Good morning again, Chair Stevenson, Vice Chair Maggard, Ranking Member Hart, and committee members. Today, Representative Lopez and I present House Bill 827. As of right now, in our state, 30% of Floridians are relying on septic tanks. This equals about 2.6 million people. And only 1% of these septic tank and water and wastewater facilities fall under our water management districts. These facilities are managed properly when septic tank fails and it's serviced. HB 827 changes this tremendously, amends and expands the Clean Waterways Act of 2020 by allowing more than 500 impaired waterways across the Sunshine State to be serviced through grants provided by the Department of Environmental Protection. Subject to an appropriation of funds by the legislature, this bill will have no fiscal impact, according to the analysis provided by our dedicated committee staff. Grants that are provided from the DEP are for the following four types of projects: projects within a basin management plan, an alternative restoration plan adopted by final order from DEP, a rural area of opportunity under statute 288.0656, or an intent to restore water body or segment thereof that is listed as impaired pursuant to statute 403.067. These measures will reduce excess nutrient pollution within our waterways. Importantly, one of the impaired waterways not covered in the current language is in the statute is Biscayne Bay. Finally, by reducing excess nutrient pollution within our waterways, we will preserve our natural resources, ensure freshwater quality, sustain and support our fishing communities, and ultimately protect local economies and tourism industries through the state. Thank you, Madam Chair, for allowing me to present this bill, and I'm open to any questions you all may have, if any. It's a good bill.
Members, are there any questions of the bill sponsor? Representative Bell, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning to everyone. Representative Basabe, since this is your first bill that you're presenting this morning, I know that we received some gifts yesterday from Italy for the journey, and I was just wondering, will this bill have anything to do with Italy, and what is your take on that?
Well, I'm not singling out Italy, but I think water is important to everyone. It's a universal bipartisan issue that we all need to do our best to protect.
Follow up.
You're recognized.
Thank you for that answer, but it really wasn't a good answer. I would like to know, are we going to partner with the country of Italy?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to think that we're all partners in life in preserving our environment.
That does sound a good
answer. Thank you.
All right, I'm glad you're satisfied. Thank you. Representative Overdorf, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Could you tell me how many OSTDSs are in the various BMAPs around the state?
You're recognized.
Could you tell me what an OSTDS is?
OSTDS is basically a septic tank. Same, different language for septic tank. The exact number I have, I will get you the exact number, but it is disgusting and disturbing.
Just to follow up, could you tell me how many BMAPs there are in the state?
Yes.
Could you tell me how many?
How many BMAPs are in the state of Florida?
It's okay. You can come back and you can watch it on the tape. We actually have learned all about how many active BMAPs there are. So I'm sure that Chair Stevenson would love to have you sit in on any of our meetings again and go through the presentations that we've had previously and letting us know how many BMAPs there are.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you. It would be an honor.
Are there any other questions of the sponsor? Representative Altman, you're recognized.
You know, I'm on the fence on this bill, but I think your good debate and answers to my question might help turn me. Can you give me a graphic description and makeup of the contents of a septic tank?
You are recognized.
Well, they look like really dirty pipes. A lot of them in our state are broken, and we're going to do our very best to fix them.
May I follow up, Madam Chair? I'm speaking of the tank. The tank is what collects the sewage as it goes from the home. And I'm curious what the makeup of that constituency of the tank, the chemical, the visual, versus what comes out of the end in the drain field.
You would, in good faith, vote for this bill. I will prepare that answer for you in great detail and come to your office later today.
Thank you. I would really look forward to that.
Thank you. Looking forward to spending some time together.
Okay. Is there any other? Seeing no further questions.
Representative Snyder?
Is there public testimony on the bill? We have Cohen Higgins, Daniel, pardon me, Daniel Cogan, Cohen Higgins, representing Miami-Dade County. Commissioner Cohen Higgins waves in support.
Madam Chair.
Jeff Scala, Florida Association of Counties, waves in support. That concludes public comment, a public testimony. Members, is there any debate on the bill? Come on, this is a good bill.
Madam Chair, may I just add one thing?
No, there's no debate. Okay, Representative Basabi, you are recognized to close on House Bill 827.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before I introduce my lovely co-sponsor to close, I'd like to just answer the BMAPs question 38.
Speak right in here.
A little louder?
Mm-hmm.
Before I recognize my lovely co-sponsor, Representative Lopez, I'd like to just answer the question. There are 38 BMAPs in the state of Florida.
Excellent. Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
All right.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Lopez, you're recognized.
Thank you. So I think all of us know here that water is probably one of our most precious resources in Florida. We have seen a number of disasters with septic tanks flowing into our waterways. And I just feel like this bill will finally get us to cleaner water much quicker. And it's something that all of us should support. So I ask for your favorable support on this bill.
Thank you. Missy, will you please call the roll?
Representatives Altman.
Representative Altman.
I'm fine.
We're voting. We're voting. We're please calling.
Oh, we're voting. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's early.
I was so mesmerized by the presentation. Yeah, this is early. Yeah, yes, yes.
All right. Basabe?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Cassell?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Gonzalez-Pittman? Gossett-Seidman?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Henson?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Overdorff?
Yes, ma'am.
Robinson?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Waldron?
Yes.
Yeager?
Yes.
Chair Stevenson?
Yes. Members, by your vote, show House Bill 827 passed favorably. Congratulations. Next up, we have House Bill 847, Floating Vessel Platforms and Floating Boat Lifts by Representative Stark. Representative Stark, you are recognized to explain House Bill 847.
Thank you, Chair Stevenson. And thank you, members, for allowing me to present in front of you. And first and foremost, I want to let you know this is not my first bill.
Sorry.
Okay. HB 847 relates to the Department of Environmental Protection's permitting exceptions for floating vessel platforms, otherwise known as FVP. This bill addresses confusion and inconsistent application of local land use and regulatory programs to installing FVPs to existing docking structures or bulkheads on waterfront properties. Floating docks are popular along Florida's coastlines because they are adaptable and easy to install and use. They rise and fall with the changing tides and can be uninstalled and brought inside in anticipation of a hurricane. Local governments have adopted drastically different permitting processes for floating docks, which in some counties include renewal fees and expansive surveys to prove that a floating dock is exempt from DEP regulation. So that is the bill, and there is an amendment.
We have an amendment by Representative Stark, barcode 280165. Representative Stark, you are recognized to explain your amendment.
This amendment would authorize a local government to use a one-time registration process where the owner of a floating dock self-certifies that the platform will, at all times, comply with local ordinances and codes, meet certain criteria. The amendment preserves local government's ability to apply local land use and regulatory authorities as prescribed by the Florida legislature under 403.813(1)SFS.
Members, are there questions on the amendment? Representative Overdorff, you're recognized.
So I know you read what that says, but can you tell me what that means?
Globally, what this is just saying is because the DEP covers the authority of waterways in our state, that they're asking all municipalities to go by the state guidelines versus some of them are just inconsistent in how they're reading it and the application that they're making for the individuals permitting for docks.
Follow up, ma'am? I understand that, but what you just said was that it's going to comply with all the local government stuff. So is that what we're doing here, or can you explain a little bit? Because you just said we're doing it from the state, but now in your amendment, you just said that we're complying with all local government issues. So if you could
separate from that, please. All of their particular criteria on the municipal platforms, they apply, except for they have to go by the DEP standard. So that's the difference. So if they have, you know, zoning or any other kind of issues as it relates to the float docks, they can go by those individually. But if it's the floating docks, they have to go by the state DEP. That's been the question, is the DEP issue, the environmental piece of it.
Are there any, do you have a further question?
I'm a little confused, so that's all. I'm not understanding the explanation, but
would you?
Sorry.
Do you want to try follow up? No. Okay.
Thank you.
Are there any other? Oh, Representative Waldron, you're recognized for a question.
Yes. So it's kind of tagging on to what the other representative just said. So it sounds like local laws are being preempted, but from an environmental perspective, but in other areas, they continue to oversee it? Is that what you're saying?
Well, maybe this will help. The amendment.
You're recognized.
Thank you. Sorry. It does not expand or change the scope of the criteria for the VEPs on a local level. It must meet in order to satisfy the already in statute exception on the list. So that's the state part. The local, it does not, this amendment doesn't change the local government's ability to regulate new VFPs where there is no prior existing bulkhead or docking structure on the property. So it doesn't regulate it from that point of view, but it does ask that it goes through to the DEP, and then the they can regulate their own rules on the local level.
Representative Waldron, you're recognized for a follow-up.
So it seems that once you get past that process, it relies on self-reporting going forward. Is mm-hmm. that what I understand?
And you're recognized.
Yes, thank you. Yes, it does.
Okay. Representative Cassell, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Stark. We didn't have an opportunity to speak about your bill, so I definitely have some questions following up with Representative Waldron's line of questioning. Your bill, the amendment now contemplates going from a presumption of compliance to a self-reporting that the owner of the floating dock is in compliance. Is there anything in your bill that contemplates that owners of these vessels are going to be provided any changes in local ordinances or local laws that may put them out of compliance? I didn't see any notice with regards to that in the bill.
You're recognized.
Thank you. They actually, once they apply, are you saying asking if now, if it's going retroactive, or are you asking if it's going forward?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm asking going forward that they're going to be able to put these in the water with the self-reporting compliance that this meets the DEP standards, but moving forward as it stays in the water and local governments change their laws, change their ordinances, or we find out that these actually have some environmental impact that we were unaware of at manufacturing time, who is providing notice to the owners of any changes in local ordinances so they can self-report that they have these if there is a change that impacts these in the water?
Recognized.
I'm sorry. As far as notifying them in future, if what those kinds of things come forward, you know, unknowingly, then it would have to be determined, but I can figure that out. I'll find an answer for you.
Any further questions, members? Thank you. We do have public testimony on this amendment. Timothy Riley from Jet Docks waves in support. Oh, Representative Stark, you are recognized to close on your amendment. Oh, is there debate? I'm sorry. Is there debate on the amendment? I see none. Representative Stark, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Basically, this is pretty straightforward as it relates to just being able to be consistent across the state on how these things are being handled. Different counties have been handling them a little bit differently, and so they just want some uniformity and some areas where they know we have to follow the DEP guidelines to make these docks permitted. So that in itself is the bill, and thank you so much for your attention.
Okay, we're on the amendment. All in favor of the amendment, say yay. Yay. Opposed?
Nay.
The ayes have it. We are back on the bill as amended. Is there public testimony on the bill as amended? Oh, beg your pardon. Show the amendment adopted. Is there public testimony on the bill as amended? We are back on the bill as amended. Are there questions on the bill as amended? Representative Hart, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Representative. I understand that I understand the consistency in the permitting process and the requirement is something that we absolutely do want to do. But how can we be sure that compliance with all the requirements for exemption is really taking place? That's my first question. How will we know if there's nobody that goes to look? DEP doesn't look, cities don't look. So are we just trusting people?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Are you meaning going forward?
Yes.
Because they have to do that at the time they ask for the permitting. So that has to happen up front.
You're recognized.
So are you saying that initially the local government and or the DEP, they come out and look at it initially when you're first getting your permit?
Yes, ma'am.
You're recognized?
Maybe I didn't quite understand, because my understanding is that the local government can't require any proof that you've met any of these exemptions. So
I think that's kind of a ongoing, that you're going to continue to meet the upfront standards when you're getting the permitting. That's part of the language when you permit going forward, that you will maintain all the criteria that you're permitting it for at that time. Now, if it changes, then someone would bring that forward and then they would have to look at it or investigate it at that time.
Representative Hart, you're recognized, yes, for a follow-up.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. So basically what you're saying is that after the initial time, nobody ever comes back again.
Pretty much.
You're recognized. Wait.
Thank you.
Let's go back and forth. Are you finished with your question?
Go ahead. She can answer that.
You're recognized.
And then I'll give you the next piece.
Yes. The answer is to yes.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So basically what you're saying is that once they've come out and they looked at it, if there's any...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
If there's any type of environmental issues, nobody would know if I just self-report. So you're telling me basically from then on, nobody will ever come out and look again to make a determination if there's an issue?
You're recognized.
With that, Doc?
Thank you. They will be, just like any other code enforcement, it's up to the individual municipalities. So if they were to look at those kinds of things and they would bring it forward, it goes to the DEP to investigate. But there would have to be a complaint filed.
Okay.
If nobody's coming out to look at it, how would there anybody ever be able to file a complaint? Because I'm being told, basically the bill says there will be no more. Nobody has to look at it ever again. I just say I'm good.
You're recognized.
Okay. I don't really know that particular answer. I can follow up with that if you would like.
Okay. Representative Yeager, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Representative, my understanding is you want to put a floating dock in, you call your local municipality. So I live in a city. So I'm going to contact the city and get a permit to put that dock in, correct?
Correct.
When they give me the permit, then at that time, they're going to decide whether the EPA needs to be, or DEP, I'm sorry, needs to be involved in that decision or not. Once they decide, it follows in the criteria, so DEP is not needed. They're going to give you the permit, and you'll be able to put the dock in, install it, and from there, go forward. Just like I have a floating dock at my house, and nobody checks out my floating dock ever. I got a permit to put it in. I put it in. It's been there for a couple of years. Nobody's ever looked at it again. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Representative Gossett-Seidman, you're recognized for a question.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, good morning, Rep. Stark.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. I wondered if part of the issue is that floating docks are not always called docks, because I come from five years at a municipal level, and they were often called swim platforms, floats, tie-ups, and therefore they were not applying for permits, not being determined to be docks. So does this cover that issue at the local level?
Well, that's probably, I'm sorry.
We need to try to get that going.
I'm just used to talking.
I understand. You're recognized.
Thank you. That ends my question. Thank you.
Yes, but that's covering some of the inconsistencies, I'm sure, in the different municipalities of what they're doing. They're probably trying to do their best with, you know, what's happening in their areas, but it isn't consistent across the state.
No, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
I see no further questions. Is there public testimony on the bill as amended? No. Members, is there debate on the bill? No debate on the bill? You're recognized, Representative Hart.
Thank you. I mean, I do get what you all are trying to do. However, it's hard for me to, first of all, I didn't get an opportunity to speak to you about the bill because I did have some questions and I know it's been very busy. But I have to say to you that it's hard for me to say yes on this bill when I don't know if there was some form of, if there was an issue when this thing was being manufactured and we're dropping it into the water and we're talking about how we keep our water clean and how we're protecting the environment, but we're going in and putting something in and nobody ever looks at it again. And I heard what the rep said, but I have an issue with that. I think that there needs to be some form of regulation. When we talk about self-regulating, we know if we're doing something incorrect, we're not going to tell anybody else. Just going to leave it at that. So for that reason, I cannot support it.
Representative Cassell, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, thank you, Representative Stark, for bringing this bill. But again, we didn't have an opportunity to speak. I think if we've learned anything on this committee, we have learned how important our water is and how important it is to protect it. And oftentimes, history is the best indicator of decisions that we need to make moving forward. And we have learned that decisions of putting things into our water without regulation, without oversight, without any type of regulation ends up working poorly for us in our water capacity. So I understand that it's challenging that all of these different municipalities have their own regulations, but there's a reason for that. Everyone on this committee serves different cities and different municipalities and counties, and we all have different issues with our waterways. So our cities need to be able to have the ability to regulate, you know, is it a storm surge issue? Whatever the situation may be, they need to have the ability to regulate it differently because all of our municipalities are different. And I think anytime we talk about putting anything into our water without oversight, without regulation, and relying on self-reporting is a dangerous path for us to go down. So for those reasons, I'm going to be no today.
Thank you, Representative Cassell. Representative Waldron, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To Representative Cassell's point, you know, I was a port commissioner in Palm Beach, and the Intercoastal Waterway is used for large ships as well as a lot of residential and recreational things. And I think that without that local oversight and ability to monitor things, there's just too much room for problems to be created for people. So for that reason, I'm going to also be voting it no. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Overdorf, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Representative, I think this bill is a lot more simple than what my compatriots are putting it at. And I realize that when you have a floating dock, typically it's an accessory, much like a boat lift. The boat lifts many times are not necessarily permitted with the local government, but they're an accessory to that dock. The boat lift is. This is an accessory to that dock. And I think that there's been a fair amount of confusion today that kind of highlights the need for coordination of the members of a committee. And I think that if you have an opportunity to move forward, that I have every confidence based on today that you will be coordinating with every single person on the next committee that you're going to be going to and making sure that those questions are answered ahead of time. For that, I'll be up on the bill today, and that I have every confidence that you will be reaching out, you will be coordinating with those folks, and that you'll be able to take the information that you have in front of you in this bill and really make it extremely simple for a lot of the folks to understand as you move forward. So for that reason, I'll be supporting it today and looking forward to watching this as it moves forward, and that the answers will be able to just flow from your mouth like honey, and therefore going forward to show that you understand the bill and that you understand what's happening around this. So I look forward to that and look forward to hearing about this in the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll just mention, I did look at who was advocating for the bill and looked at some of the videos for the product, and it does look like some of them might have less impact than a more permanent dock. So it was it's very interesting, and it's new, so communication with the members would be great. It is a little hard to be at the 8 o'clock meeting after opening day, and to be a presenter at that time as well. Representative Stark, you are recognized to close on House Bill 847.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So back to
Me too. Representative Stark, you are recognized to close on House Bill 847 as amended.
Thank you. So to the original point, we're trying to garner the consistency across the state. Some of the things that I think we've discussed has been a little bit confusing as to all the different municipalities and what they are doing and not doing, but I think this will clear it up and we can address that separately. Some of the issues that you have, environmental impacts, some of the docks, just like Rep. Yeager said, he already has a floating dock. There are floating docks out there already. So that environmental impact is happening currently. So, and we won't really know some of that until later down the road. So those are things that can be addressed, I think, separate from. So with those issues, I would appreciate if you could support the bill today, and then we'll address the issues separate from. Thank you very much.
Representative Stark, having closed on her bill, Missy, will you please call the roll?
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Vassabe?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Cassell?
No.
Dunkley?
No.
Gonzalez-Pittman? Gossett-Seidman?
Yes.
Hart?
No.
Henson?
No.
Maggard?
Yes.
Overdorff?
Yes, ma'am.
Robinson?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Waldron?
No.
Yeager?
Yes.
Chair Stevenson?
Yes. Members, by your vote, show House Bill 847 passes.
Thank you.
Just to be completely clear, by your vote, the bill is reported favorably as amended. So make sure we're all having a little difficulty this morning. Next up, we have a presentation by the Department of Environmental Protection on rules developed pursuant to the 2020 Clean Water Act that require legislative ratification. At this time, we're going to hear from Michael Lynch, the Director of Water Resource Management with the Department of Environmental Protection. Mr. Lynch is going to discuss each of the three rules packages that DEP has promulgated pursuant to the 2020 Clean Waterways Act. Each of the rules require legislative ratification because the regulatory cost of each of the proposed rules exceeds $1 million in the aggregate within 5 years after implementation. The proposed committee bills we are considering today address two of these three rules. We will have time for questions after each presentation has concluded. Mr. Lynch, thank you for being here. You are recognized.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and good morning, everyone. I appreciate the opportunity to come and present in front of you today. First of the rules I'll be presenting on is in regards to on-site sewage treatment and disposal systems, otherwise known as OSTDS, commonly referred to interchangeably with septic tanks. In 2020, the Florida Legislature passed the Bipartisan Clean Waterways Act, which directed DEP to adopt new rules related to on-site sewage treatment and disposal systems. The Clean Waterways Act and ratification of these rules is supportive of Governor DeSantis' goal of rapidly improving water quality. Proposed rule revisions are intended to expand OSTDS remediation plans, permitting requirements. DEP has also required to adopt rules relating to the location of OSTDS, including establishing setbacks. This is to further prevent any surface water discharge degradation. In regards to public engagement, As directed by the Clean Waterways Act, DEP has convened an OSTDS Technical Advisory Committee during the fall of 2021 to develop recommendations for the governor and the legislature regarding nutrient removals from these septic tanks. The Technical Advisory Committee provided DEP with a valuable way to seek and receive public input and recommendations during the rule development process. The Technical Advisory Committee was charged with addressing the setback distances, increasing the availability of enhanced nutrient-reducing OSTDSs, known as ENRs, in the marketplace, and recommending regulatory options to facilitate the introduction and use of said ENRs. The Technical Advisory Committee met 6 times in 2021 with approximately 328 attendees. Recommendations were submitted to the governor and the legislature regarding nutrient removal in OSTDS and OSTDS setbacks in December 2021. Based on the directives outlined in the Clean Waterways Act, DEP completed 2 rulemaking efforts in 2022. These rules will be found in Chapter 62.6, Florida Administrative Code. The initial rulemaking did not require ratification, and they became effective June 21st, 2022. The first part was adopting the setbacks that are currently in place under DOH for public and private wells. The department is currently having a scientific literature completed and a study. We're expecting that to be finalized in June 23, at which point we'll go back and determine if the current setbacks are appropriate or if there needs to be additional rule changes. In addition to that rule amendment, there will be more options for in-ground enhanced nutrient-reducing OSTDSs. It will allow for aerobic treatment units, known as ATUs, that are certified nitrogen reduction. And in addition, it clarifies lot sizes. DEP is requesting ratification during this session. These rules were filed with the Department of the State in May 2022 and require legislative ratification as determined by the Statement of Estimated Regulatory Costs. So the second part of this rulemaking initiative to fulfill the direction to develop and implement on-site sewage treatment disposal system remediation plans within Basin Management Action Plans, known as BMAPs, by July 2025. This will not only require new construction to have ENRs, enhanced nutrient reducing systems, on lots that are less than an acre, but could also require existing systems in need of repair or modification to upgrade to an ENR as well. If the OSTDS remediation plan requires it, the applicant will be required to install a nutrient reducing OSTDS rather than a conventional system. The implementation of a more stringent requirements for OSTDSs within BMAPs will reduce nutrient loads and impaired water bodies. With this rulemaking, it would also allow for variance to be heard for undue hardships. DEP's CERC for the rule revisions and resulting in increased regulatory costs is estimated to be approximately $57 million. This was based on requirements established in the existing Springs OSTDS remediation plan. The estimate for impaired outstanding Florida Springs alone over a period of 5 years. Under the provisions of the revised rule, in circumstances wherein a BMAP has more stringent requirements for the use of an OSTDS, homeowners or businesses in that BMAP are required to install an ENR OSTDS. While more protective water quality, ENR OSTDS are a more costly option for individual wastewater treatment and disposal systems as compared to an existing conventional system. In summary, implementation of the revised rule are expected to result in more stringent permit requirements for applicants to install ENR OSTDSs within BMAP areas and other applicable priority focus areas that have nutrient-impaired waters. Existing OSTDS plans that target nitrogen reduction of an upgraded systems compared to a conventional system is at least 50%. Conventional OSTDS systems with the tank and the drain field were not designed to remove nutrients, but will remove roughly about 30%. Whereas the ENRs with the nutrient reduction upgraded systems will target about 65% removal. Implementation of OSTDS remediation plans and more stringent requirements will reduce impacts of growth and increase protections of water quality and nutrient-impaired water bodies. Thank you.
Thank you, members. Are there any questions? Representative Gossett-Seidman, you're recognized.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, sir, thank you for your presentation. And I'm wondering, you mentioned that certain hardships will be recognized and therefore variances could be applied. How would you define those hardships?
You're recognized.
They can submit a hardship on a variety of however they want, whatever they think the hardship is, and what it will go forth is there is a variance board that meets regularly that will hear those, and they will make that determination.
So is that a normal process that you have if there's a variance?
It is, yes. There's a variance that exists now. It will just also have a variance for the new upgraded systems as well.
Thank you. You have a follow-up?
Yes, ma'am, please, thank you. In my experience in a town, there can be concocted various hardships that prove in the longer run not to be hardships but were favors. Is there a way of further defining that? Please, thank you.
You're recognized.
Thank you for the question. I'll have to go and look at what our requirements are for variances to be heard, but I know it's vast, but I will look into that.
May I, maybe...
Thank you.
This would not be before the local government. This would be a DEP variance process. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Are you satisfied?
Yes, ma'am. I'll wait to hear what variance follow-up answers those would provide. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Henson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the presentation. And forgive me if I'm a little groggy. In your remediation plan, I'm wondering, do you have an idea of how many more tanks we still have underground? How many of them in your plan? Could you give me a summary of what that remediation plan might be look like, considering we need to get these tanks from underground? You don't think he can do it?
I'll let you take a crack at that.
I appreciate the question. So what I can tell you is that roughly 12% of the septic tanks nationally are in Florida. So yes, we have a lot of them. With that being said, it's probably easier to get like an estimate by county of how many septic tanks. I don't have an idea of how many are going to be impacted offhand from areas that are going to have remediation plans, but that's certainly something that we can look into, because we do have an idea of how many septic tanks there are and then how many exist in areas that will have remediation plans. I just don't know offhand those numbers.
Thank you. So as a city commissioner, I was looking at that at some point. Water's always been important to me. And I know we had a lot of them in my district. And I think that may be impacting our springs. This $57 million, does that include your septic tank remediation plan?
You're recognized.
It does, yes. And it will apply to areas that are out within outstanding Florida Springs basins.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I see no further questions. I want to ask one to make sure I'm clear. This would apply to areas where there wasn't sewer extended. This is not in lieu of connecting to sewer where it's available with the timelines and things like that.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. So it is an improvement.
Undoubtedly.
Okay, thank you. Next, we'll go to the collection system rule ratification. Consideration, presentation. I'm sorry. Okay. Mr. Lynch, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So moving on to wastewater collection systems, once again, the Clean Waters Way Act directed the department to adopt new rules to eliminate or reduce sanitary sewer overflows by improving the operation and maintenance of collection systems. Proposed rule revisions are intended to improve the operation, maintenance of domestic wastewater collection systems increase the resiliency and improve planning for future facility expansion. Concerning public engagement, there were three workshops that were held in 2020 and 2021 for the overall collection system rulemaking effort. During all three workshops, staff interacted with attendees during the public comment periods and actively answered questions and responded to comments from the audience. In addition, there were several meetings held with industry representatives from groups such as the Florida Water Environment Association Utility Council and the Stopper Group. DEP also maintains a mailing list with 256 subscribers that was actively used throughout the rulemaking process with our gov delivery system. During Florida's 2021 and 2022 fiscal years, we adopted several rules that clarified and amended rules for domestic wastewater collection facilities, which incurred no costs and did not require ratification. These amendments included revised reporting for noncompliance-related events for sanitary sewer overflows, bypass events, and unauthorized discharge. This required electronic submittal of all noncompliance events. In addition, it required information to be submitted to the state watch office. It also required emergency response plans for hurricanes for all facilities, and it requires these plans to be reviewed annually. It required systems to be operated and maintained to minimize infiltration, inflow, and leakages, and required corrective action plans. In addition, this required an annual report relating to Senate Bill 64, requiring elimination of all non-beneficial surface water discharge from domestic wastewater treatment facilities. DEP is requesting ratification this session. These rules were filed with the Department of the State on November 16, 2021. Proposed rule revisions, which will address facility expansion, would require a collection system and action plans, collection system action plans to evaluate flows. In addition, it would require development of collection system action plans. This is intended to proactively maintain, upgrade collection systems, and establish detailed information about the plan development. For the department to track the progress of the action plan, implementation annual progress reports would be required for each facility as they implement their action plan. Additionally, this rule would require utilities to develop power outage contingency plans. This is where we see the bulk of SSOs occur, is during power outages. Lastly, that would require facilities to address cybersecurity in emergency response plans in order to better protect domestic wastewater treatment facilities' operations and resiliency. The statement of estimated regulatory cost. For the first portion, in regarding for a facility to evaluate their flows, there's no estimated regulatory cost, but since it is mentioned throughout this rule, it is included in the CERC package. The portion associated with the estimated cost for utilities to develop a action plan and the cost to implement the plan, DEP has estimated the action plan will cost utilities about $81 million. This is an average for $49,000 per facility. In addition, once the action plan is developed, DEP estimates that the cost of utilities will be $235 million to implement this plan and report for the first 5 years. For 660720, and this is the portion associated with cybersecurity, this applies to facilities that only are over 500,000 gallons per day, and this is a one-time cost of about $11 million, or $32,000 per facility. In summary, revisions will help ensure collection systems are included in planning for facility expansions by adding a new requirement for facilities to evaluate the collection system flows as part of the pipe assessment, repair, and replacement action plan. Implements key wastewater collection system provisions, minimize, reduce, and eliminate sanitary sewer overflows and infiltration, inflow, and leakages. This rule would implement a power outage contingency plan for collection systems and require collection system action plans to assess, repair, and replace collection system components, but it also requires annual reporting on the implementation of collection systems action plans, including the financial information related to maintaining the collection system and addressing infiltration and inflow. Lastly, it will reduce the potential for cybersecurity, terrorists, and hackers to disrupt the operation of a wastewater treatment plant, resulting in potential unauthorized discharges.
Thank you, members. Do you have any questions? Representative Gossett-Seidman, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Sir, I'm wondering, thank you for your presentation. I'm wondering if, excuse me if I don't understand some of your terms, but we do have a number of outfall pipes that project partially treated wastewater into the oceans. And I believe at last report, I think there were maybe seven, maybe more on the East Coast. I don't know if you've really addressed that in here, but is that covered on some of your reports? I understand they were to be terminated by 2025. Could you just give us an update? Thank you.
That is outside of the bill. But
it's outside of the bill.
But if you would like covered. To provide that information to us at this time, or we could cover it another time.
I'd be happy to. Thank you for the question. So that is being addressed under Senate Bill 64, which is to eliminate all non-beneficial surface water discharge. You're correct. I think there is roughly seven and maybe 10 or 11 in total. And the ones that are existing are required to be advanced wastewater treatment systems. Where we are right now is the Senate Bill 64, they have until 2032 to comply. And I'd be happy to get you numbers of where we're at with that bill.
If you could. That's why I was confused, because your terminology does cover some of this treatment and dispensary, and I just don't understand where that fits here. So we don't have a companion house bill to that.
Would you like to respond to that?
Yes.
So this is in regards to collection systems, but one of the components that we did add in is just saying that we are going to require annual reports, because we had the rule open for any facilities that meet the requirements in Senate Bill 64. So I could see where it being mentioned is, what does it have to do with that? But we added that piece in just so that we can have annual reports from facilities that are subject to Senate Bill 64 so that we can report back on their progress.
Okay, then. I'll follow up. Thank you very much for your help.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Seeing none, I want to thank you for those very informative presentations, and I'd just like to observe this was a 2020 bill, and we're just now at rules. Things take time. The process take time. Oh, you have one more. You've got stormwater. I beg your pardon. Okay, stormwater rules ratification. That'll be exciting. You are recognized. You are recognized.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. So moving on to stormwater rule ratification. Once again, the Clean Waterways Act directed the DEP to adopt new rules related to stormwater management systems. DEP is proposing updates to its rules for the stormwater design and operation regulations under the Environmental Resource Permit Program, specifically to address nutrients. Currently, ERP applicants for a stormwater management system must provide reasonable assurance for these systems are designed and to be constructed, operated, and maintained in accordance with the requirements in the statewide ERP regulations under 62330 Florida Administrative Code. In general, best management practices that were adopted under ERP program historically were routinely believed to satisfy the goal of providing at least 80% reduction of stormwater-associated pollutants such as nitrogen and phosphorus. However, a number of technical evaluations and monitoring have indicated that many of the adopted BMPs were not by themselves capable of achieving this performance standard, as indicated in our Water Resource Implementation Rule 6240-432. DEP has held two public outreach meetings in 2020 prior to rule development. This saw 368 and 291 attendees, respectively. In response to the public interest, DEP established a Stormwater Technical Advisory Commission, known as a TAC, in November 2020. The TAC met 13 times from 2020 to November 2021 and had over 1,500 attendees. A summary report of the TAC discussions and recommendations was published in March 2022. The TAC consisted of a variety of stakeholders, including academia, agricultural interests, government, environmental interests, and various stormwater design, engineering, and consultants. DEP, in addition, held four workshops from May to December 2022 on the rules that will be implemented in the ERP Applicant's Handbook, Volume 1. In addition, there were five workshops held by each water management district that concluded in January 2023 to provide updates on their proposed changes. The proposed rule amendments include additional permitting requirements for applicants. ERP applicants will be required to demonstrate through calculations and modeling that future stormwater systems will provide additional treatment to meet new performance standards by ensuring that stormwater designs are based off calculations and modeling these systems will better accompany the updated best management practices. They will now require stormwater systems to achieve 80% nutrient reduction for total phosphorus and total nitrogen, and if its stormwater system is located within an outstanding Florida water body basin, they'll be required to meet 95% nutrient reduction. For redevelopment, proposed provisions would allow for a reduced total nitrogen performance of 45%, under which conditions, which are expected to support redevelopment in areas that were likely to have little or no historical stormwater treatment. The proposed rules provide strengthened requirements for stormwater and operation and maintenance regulations, including new minimum permitting requirements to ensure that entities will be capable of performing operation and maintenance of permitted stormwater management systems over time. Strengthened training, documentation, and inspection frequency requirements have been developed as part of this rulemaking effort. New requirements for dam systems. These requirements will provide the basic dam safety information during a permitting review, which establish downstream hazard potential classification for new projects should a dam system fail or be misoperated. Require emergency action plans to be developed for projects where misoperation or failure could involve probable loss of human life, impacts on economic, environmental, or critical infrastructure. It will also provide a condition assessment report for high hazard or significant high hazard dams. Proposed revisions are estimated to affect approximately over 14,000 new or altered ERPs within the first 5 years. In addition, for the new dam requirements, they are expected to impact 29 projects over the first 5 years. The proposed rule revisions and estimated regulatory costs include stormwater quality nutrient treatment. Costs are expected to drive increased stormwater treatment to ensure increased removal of nutrients from stormwater discharges. The increased regulatory costs for resulting increased stormwater treatment has been estimated at $1.4 billion over the next 5 years, or an average increase of $3,000 per acre developed statewide. Additional permit design requirements is an estimated $14 million over the first 5 years of implementation, or $1,000 per each ERP application. Permitting requirements for new or older dam systems is estimated to be $620,000 over the first 5 years, or $21,000 per new or altered dam statewide. Operation and maintenance are estimated to be a total $22 million over the first 5 years of rule implementation, and the stormwater inspection and reporting costs are estimated to be $6 million over the first 5 years, or around $450 per ERP project. The notice of proposed rule was published on February 24th, 2023. The rule certification package is anticipated to be filed with the Department of State in April 2023. In summary, the proposed rule revisions to 62330 Florida Administrative Code, which is our ERP rule, provide new design performance criteria and establish updated stormwater best management practices to ensure increased treatment removal of nutrients from stormwater discharges. In combination with these design changes and an updated stormwater BMPs, which are based off the latest available monitoring and studies, will help ensure that the future stormwater designs will provide increased treatment and removal of nutrients to strengthen Florida's overall water resource protections. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, are there questions on the presentation? Representative Overdorf, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the presentation. On the stormwater side, I think there's a fair amount of work still to be done there. But that being said, the 80% nutrient reduction, does that actually follow the technical advisory committee?
Yes, it does. Let me correct myself. It follows our water resource implementation rule. Excuse me.
So you didn't take the advice of the TAC that said 65% reduction. Is that correct?
I'm going to let you guys discuss for a few minutes because it sounds like you're going to go back and forth a bit.
What the TAC suggested is or recommended is that we do more to reduce nutrients that are coming from stormwater systems. I don't recall offhand that it was specific to 65%, but I can look into that. I know that we have all their comments and how we address them. I don't know that offhand.
With if you're looking at an 80% reduction, would you agree that, and I don't mean this to be a leading question, but that would also require additional potential land for stormwater treatment, for things like that, and therefore reduce an overall, say, if we're looking at trying to put homes on a parcel, if we're trying to look at even adding density to a parcel by taking the stormwater ponds and increasing them, wouldn't that reduce potential density?
I would agree that if you were increasing the footprint of a stormwater system, that it would decrease the density of developing homes and things of that nature. And how they go about meeting the 80% is up to the applicant to decide, but there are other avenues that will take up space, you know, such as swales or other green BMPs.
So, thank you, Chairman, for the latitude. I appreciate that. Obviously, a swale would take up geographic space. A pond would take up geographic space. Those types of things. Are there other mechanisms in which the DEP would find acceptable, such as mechanical treatments or things like that? Could you expand upon that?
You're recognized.
I believe there any mechanism that someone would present to meet the 80% reduction, the DEP would find acceptable. And what they're doing is they're creating a BMP library to say, here are resources and here are some studies that are available to assist people in meeting that new requirement.
And just one final question then. So I understand BMPs, I get all that, but are you saying that there are not specified mechanical and or mechanical ways that we can actually reduce the nutrients or there are? I just didn't follow that in your answer.
You're recognized.
I'd have to research that and get back to you.
Okay, thank you. Representative Henson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the presentation. And I agree, stormwater ponds are evolving. Some of them can be quite deep. I heard you say that in permitting the dams, there is a requirement for protection of human safety, human life. Is there such a requirement in the stormwater permitting as well?
You're recognized.
I'm not sure that there's anything in our stormwater rules that specifically identify protections of human life, although there are many standards in place currently that I think will lead to protection of human life, but I don't think it is specifically specified in our rule offhand, but I can explore that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Members, are there any other questions of the presenter? Okay, now I get to say thank you for the wonderful presentations and very informative. Thank you for being with us today and for your presentations.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Representative Overdorf, thank you for presenting PCB WST 23-01 ratification of the on-site sewage treatment and disposal system rules and collection system rule. And I know you're going to make me learn what that means, what all those words mean, OSTDS. So you're recognized to present to explain PCB WST 23-01.
Madam Chairman, thank you. Members, in 2020, we passed the Clean Water Waterways Act and expanded upon the requirements relating to water quality improvement. In the Clean Waterways Act, we required the Department of Environmental Protection to promulgate a number of rules, of which you just heard, and to administer the act. And we recognize that a number of those rules would require ratification by the legislature. This bill ratifies a number of those rules, and specifically it does not ratify the stormwater rule. This only deals with the OSTDS and the overall septic rules we just heard. And that is the bill, Madam.
Are there any questions of Representative Overdorf? I see none. We have public comment from Alexandria Kernan, Department of Environmental Protection. Waves in support. members, is there any debate on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Overdorf, you are recognized to close on PCB WST 23-01.
What you said, wave close.
Missy, please call the roll.
Representatives Altman. Basabe.
Yes.
Bell.
Yes.
Brackett.
Yes.
Cassell.
Yes.
Dunkley.
Yes.
Gonzalez-Pittman. Gossett-Seidman.
Yes.
Hart.
Yes.
Henson. Maggard.
Yes.
Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Robinson.
Yes.
Snyder.
Yes.
Temple.
Yes.
Waldron.
Yes.
Yeager.
Yes.
Chair Stevenson.
Yes. Members, by your vote, House PCB WST 23-01 will be reported favorably. Members, this concludes our committee agenda. I appreciate the robust discussion of these bills. And seeing no further business before the committee, Representative Snyder moves we rise. We're adjourned.